sense the presence of the Holy Spirit as we were singing that. It was just one of those special little moments. God just touches you, lets you remind you of his presence. We're in a wonderful season, the season of Epiphany, the season where we have miracle after miracle after miracle. They like to use manifestation of divine power. I like miracle. You like it? Want to vote one? No. You know, there's something very special about when God reveals his divine power and his glory to his people. And this is the first time, and it's a wonderful setting. I get a kick out of this because when I was in college, my first 2 years, I lived in I rented a room in a home in North Hollywood. And I don't know if you know about North Hollywood, is all Jewish. Well, if not, it's a lot Jewish. And Jewish mothers like to adopt people that like to eat. Can you imagine how easy we were to be sold? You know, and we spent a lot of time being blessed by Jewish mothers. And Jewish mothers are very powerful women. It always made me think of that big fat Greek wedding thing about the woman can turn the neck, you know. There's something about how they dish out guilt really well, they know, you know, that they're in a position of authority. Now, we know one thing about Jesus they told us. It says that he submitted himself to his parents. You know, he was under their love and their authority, and, you know, if they gave him a direction, it was like having, an order from mom, you know, was something serious. And so we have this wonderful little encounter. I get a kick out of it, in which, Mary comes to Jesus, and it's obvious that Mary knows what Jesus' power is by now. We don't know a lot of that story. It'd be kind of fun to know those things. But we do know that Mary knew Jesus could do something about this. And I love this. It says, dear woman, that's not our problem. Isn't that a great comment, you know? And I understand that this was not an offensive comment. He wasn't talking back to mom, you know. It's not our problem. And I always thought what it doesn't say in the parentheses is, no, it's your problem now. Because I'm passing it on to you. I read a little bit about the background of this, and they give us an indication that Mary apparently was related to the people that were there, and it was an embarrassment, you know, to the family that to have a situation in which there was no wine for the people, and she apparently had enough of a role there that as a woman she could speak to the servants and give them orders on what to do, and they all do this. And so Jesus performs this wonderful miracle of transforming the water into wine. And anybody that's ever done a Seder meal, you know, if done by a Jewish family, it's not, what's that sparkling cider stuff? No, it's not that, you know. They really like to have a little bit of wine in their meal, and people like to explain they have 1/4 wine and 3/4 water. Let's put it this way: they never told the people in North Hollywood that, but anyway, we have this spectacular miracle, and then it says it is his disciples believed in him. But we find out they continue to learn how to believe in him because they believed that he was powerful. They believed that that they did not make a mistake in hanging around with this guy because there were going to be some really neat stuff going on. But I don't think they really got it. In fact, we find out as the story goes on, they didn't get it, they didn't get it, they didn't get it. Finally, they get it, and then they forget they got it. You know, and so... it was just one of those things of an unveiling of who Jesus is. And so what happens is, this is the first of the signs. And I just want to point out something that I think is a real significant thing to remember. Jesus says, my time has not yet come. If you love the Gospel of John like I do, you'll find out that one of the constant themes all the way through it is time. God has a time. He has a plan. And he has a plan for your life and my life. And according to his time and his timing is when things happen. And so, you know, Jesus was saying, my time, it's not the time. And Mary said, yes, it is. You know, and so what happens is it became the time when he manifested for the first time this divine power. But most of the people there didn't even know it happened. You notice that? It says the servants knew about it. His few disciples knew about it. But it was a real, what you call, I call it a quiet miracle. Any of you that have ever seen a miracle, it's hard to keep your mouth shut. You know? Mostly, you want to share about God's power in your life. You know, I've experienced a miracle. My wife has experienced a miracle. We've observed many miracles. And the interesting thing about it is that today's epistle talks about spiritual gifting that God gives to his people and to his church. It says that God gives spiritual gifts to each person according to his will. Now, by the way, that's each and every person gets spiritual gifts from God. It says in order to build up the body of Christ. And so God gives these gifts to people, but not everybody opens the gift. You have it. You know, some people don't even know they have it, and they almost stumble onto it someday. You might be, for instance, in the church, and the person that's listed to lay hands for healing might not have shown up, which happens, you know, around here. And we have this wonderful volunteer method. It's very similar to the military. Here, come with me. We are going to go and do this ministry of healing. And sometimes what might happen in a situation like that is a miracle might occur. And you might not even know that God has given you this gift. There is a list of gifts here. All of these gifts are given to you, and you have one or more of these gifts. Some of you have a whole bunch of them. And I found out an interesting thing. God gives gifts according to the need of the church, not according to our needs. They're not our spiritual gifts. They're God's gift for his church to build up the body of Christ. And he gives these wonderful gifts that are kind of spectacular ones. But I want to talk about the gift of miracles. Because the promise of God is that miracles are going to happen. You remember when Jesus was just getting ready, he was having his final moment with his disciples before he was going to be crucified. He was just kind of preparing them. And he says to them, greater things than these things you've seen are going to happen because I return to the Father. All I can say is, wow. Greater gifts than these things you're going to see. Now, these things are happening today. They're happening all over the world. We have a communication problem. Because when these things happen, we're not being told about it because there are places in which miraculous things are the ordinary. And they're not going to talk about it because they expect it to happen. When I was in seminary, the bishop that we had, Bishop Victor Manuel Rivera, he thought that it was very important that everybody did that was in seminary did manual labor. And I told him I thought he was the president of Mexico, but he didn't think that was funny, you know. And so he gave us a job, and Father Ed and I tarred a wall and all kinds of wonderful things up there. But up there that year, was a young man that came over from Africa. And he had, his family had gotten him out through some missionaries. And he was 12 when they got him out, because at 13 they were going to give him a rifle and send him out to go to war. And he was talking about what was happening there in this horrible situation. These Christian people were coming to believe in Jesus Christ, and they were going from village to village. And then what they would do is they'd stop in the center of the village, and they'd say, bring us all your sick. And they'd bring them to the center, and they would pray over them in Jesus' name. They'd all get healed. So they said, well, this is cool. Let's go to the next village. And they started going from village to village. Well, the church decided they knew what to do about this. They would bring them in and train them up, and the miracle stopped. Because what happened was they started trying to think of with their heads instead of their hearts. They got disconnected from power. And God is a power God. Mm-hmm. And our God gives these gifts to his people in order that the manifestations of power might be normative, not abnormal. For me, that happened at a moment of teaching that happened when a guy by the name of Father Everett Fulham came to our church, and he told us about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, about how to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And he talked about it as a baptism, a total immersion by the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, well, we all have the Holy Spirit. And they said, that's correct. You all have the Holy Spirit in there. He said, what we're going to do is ignite it. You know, we're going to pray for igniting the Holy Spirit that's within us in order that all of us might move in the power of the gifting that God has already given us. If you have not said that prayer, I would like to encourage you right now to pray that gift with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come into each heart that's here. And Lord God, baptize them totally in your Spirit. Fill them with your power. Fill them, all Lord God, not only with your power, but all of the fruit of the Spirit, that it might become visible to the world, that people might wonder what is going on. We ask you, Lord God, to come into this church in a fresh new way. Breathe on us as a Pentecost, Lord God. Fill us anew, that these spiritual gifts you've already given to your church might become manifest, that we might see signs and wonders in our midst. Lord God, we just know that if all of these things are true that you tell us in your word, and we know they are, we beg you, Lord God, let us see them, manifest them in our presence, manifest them in our lives, that the world might know that you're alive and moving in your people. Thank you, Jesus. We ask you right now to fill us right now. Fill us anew. Remind us of your miracle power. Anoint us, Lord God, that we would know that it is not us, but you. That we would be channels of your grace and power in the world, that the world might know that you are alive and moving in Jesus.